Welcome back to Lasa's channel. My name is Anton Vjeltsin. I'm an attorney in the Southern District of California here in San Diego. Today we're going to discuss a case that deals with a wide range of topics. That's because you have two co-defendants that both appeal their convictions, and now the Ninth Circuit addresses both appeals together in a consolidated case. Now, in the first case, the court has to address standing. As you remember, the Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. But before a defendant can challenge the violation of the Fourth Amendment, he has to demonstrate to the court that he has standing. I'll explain that topic in a few minutes. Now, in the second case, we're going to talk about the fact that mere presence during the execution of a valid search warrant does not necessarily give law enforcement permission to detain that individual who is merely present at the scene. And of course, we're also going to discuss the fact that those brief detentions, often called Terry stops, can quickly become de facto arrests. And if the court deems a detention arrest, officers needed to have probable cause to execute that arrest. And here, you'll learn that they didn't have that. Before we go on and discuss all of these topics, I want to thank you for watching me on YouTube, hitting that subscribe button. If you're listening to the podcast version of this recording on Audible or Spotify, please consider giving a 5-star review rating. And finally, if you want to support this channel, go to lawstash.com and check out some of my merch. Thanks for watching.
Quick message from Law Stash. Are you charged with a crime? Or do you want to know your rights if stopped by police? Watch California attorney Anton Vjeltsin discuss legal cases from the Supreme Court, Ninth Circuit, and California state courts on the Law Stash YouTube page. Anton has handled hundreds of federal and state criminal cases, has an in-depth knowledge of the law, and has the best mustache ever. Subscribe to the Law Stash YouTube page. That's LawStache.
Today we'll be discussing a Ninth Circuit case, United States versus Robertson. Law enforcement receive an anonymous tip about a crack lab, a house where some individuals were cooking up meth. Now, a detective also had a confidential informant tell him that the confidential informant has been at this particular location, and he confirmed that it was in fact a crack lab. Officers did some more investigation. They found that Mr. Johnson was on the utility bills for this location. They drove by it. They saw that all the windows had curtains and the garage windows were masked up so you couldn't see anything inside. The officers also learned that Mr. Johnson had an outstanding arrest warrant for an unrelated case. They make a decision to execute on this warrant. They come to the location, to the house. They see Mr. Johnson and a female by the last name of Stipro standing in the doorway. As the officers approach to execute an arrest warrant on Johnson, Johnson gets inside the house, locks the door, and barricades himself inside. Stipro, on the other hand, is detained, is essentially standing on the side. The officers eventually make a forced entry into the house. They arrest Johnson, and as they get him outside, they tell Stipro that she's free to go if she's willing to leave her purse behind to be searched later. Of course, Stipro refuses to leave her personal belongings behind. What reasonable person would ever do that? Instead, she waits there for 3 hours as law enforcement are trying to get a search warrant for the house. Law enforcement eventually get that search warrant. They search the house, and inside they find fingerprints of Stipro and an other individual, Robertson. They also search the belongings, the purse that Stipro had, and inside the purse, they find formulas on how to cook methamphetamine. They're all charged with crimes, and Robertson and Stipro are convicted, one with manufacture of methamphetamine, and the other with an attempted manufacture of methamphetamine. Johnson, on the other hand, commits suicide while in custody, so his case is over. As for Robertson and Stipro, they appeal their convictions, saying that the district court, the lower level, should have suppressed the evidence, which was found in violation of their Fourth Amendment rights. Robertson particularly talks about the fact that law enforcement should have executed the arrest warrant on Johnson months before. The warrant was 7 months old. And in fact, law enforcement could have arrested Johnson a few months prior when they pulled him over. Instead, they waited these 7 months. Now, I will tell you, this is a good defense. In fact, I had a recent case where officers did not execute a warrant for 5 years. And I argued to the judge that the delay in executing a warrant and prosecuting my client was unreasonable. And at this point, I couldn't find any witnesses. I couldn't go back to the scene. The cameras were all gone. And because of that, the court actually dismissed my case. Robertson argues the same thing here. He says that a 7-month delay was unreasonable. And because of that, his case should be dismissed. And the evidence found against him should have been suppressed. Robertson, however, encounters a fundamental obstacle, standing. A defendant must show standing even if the government has not pressed the issue in the district court. Fourth Amendment rights are personal rights, which may not be vicariously asserted. Even when officers make a blatantly pretextual arrest of one defendant that creates exigent circumstances justifying search of a second defendant's home, the second defendant may not challenge the legality of the arrest. Here it is undisputed that the arrest warrant named only Johnson. Had he survived, he could have raised a challenge to the delay in the execution of the warrant. Standing in for the dead man, Robertson may not invoke any rights Johnson might have had. And so the judgment as to Robertson is affirmed. Now, dealing with Stipro, she brings two issues before the court. She says that her initial detention was illegal because it was a de facto arrest that required probable cause, as well as the subsequent search of her personal belongings, the purse slash backpack, was also in violation of the Fourth Amendment rights. First, let's deal with the detention. Whether an arrest has occurred depends all on the surrounding circumstances, including the extent to which liberty of movement is curtailed and the type of force or authority employed. We often confront the issue of when a legitimate Terry stop, for which only reasonable suspicion of criminal activity is required, escalates into an arrest for which probable cause is required. The differing standards for each reflect the differing degrees of intrusion characteristic to each. A Terry stop involves no more than a brief stop, interrogation, and under the proper circumstances, a brief check for weapons. Beyond such a brief and narrowly circumscribed intrusion, an arrest occurs, for which probable cause is required. The ultimate question is whether, in the view of all the surrounding circumstances, a reasonable person would believe himself to be under arrest. The court concludes that Stipro's detention was in fact an arrest. She was confronted by 7 to 10 officers at gunpoint. One of the officers pointed a gun straight at her nose, told her to freeze, and detained her for 10 to 15 minutes before she was told that she was free to leave if she was willing to leave her personal belongings behind. That is a type of detention that can only be characterized as an arrest, says the court. Also, in Terry stops, we usually see individuals being patted down if the officers believe that that person is armed and dangerous. And here again, the officers never even patted down Stipro. So there's no argument that could be made that they thought that she was armed and dangerous. And the court also says there was no necessity in holding Stipro during the execution of an arrest warrant on Johnson. She should have been always free to go. But because the officers arrested her, the next question becomes whether there was probable cause to arrest Stipro. The court holds that probable cause for her arrest was absent. For all that was then known to the officers, Stipro was an innocent visitor. Lacking from both the arrest warrant for Johnson and the search warrant for the premises was the slightest indication that Stipro was involved in criminal activity. Her mere presence on the premises, without more, cannot support an arrest of her under these circumstances. It is insufficient to point to the defendant's mere proximity to others independently suspected of criminal activity. So this was an arrest unsupported by probable cause. So an illegal arrest. and everything that follows should really be suppressed from this point on. But the court still talks about the search of Stipro's backpack, her personal belongings. After all, we do have a valid search warrant here. The government relies on the search warrant that they received 3 hours later when they searched the house to support the search of the backpack. The warrant in this case authorized the search of the premises known as 855 68th Street, Springfield, Oregon, and curtilage and appurtenances and vehicles. The government and the dissent would have us hold that the particularity requirement of the Fourth Amendment was satisfied either by the reference to appurtenances or to curtilage. Stipro contends that the warrant cannot be read to describe her backpack, and thus that search of it was warrantless in violation of the Fourth Amendment. We reject the government's and the dissent's expansive reading of the warrant and agree with Stipro. The search of the Stipro's backpack was an unreasonable search which violated the Fourth Amendment. Whenever we're dealing with warrants, there's always a requirement of particularity, meaning that the warrant has to particularly describe the place to be searched and the items to be seized. And here, of course, backpack did not fit within the language of the warrant. And so this was a warrantless, illegal search of the backpack. The court, and we can always talk about some of the exceptions. Here, I can't think of any except exigent circumstances. And the court says that this exception does not apply. If the officers could spend 3 hours obtaining a search warrant for the house, they could have easily asked for the warrant to search Stipro's backpack. They didn't here, and for good reason. They never had probable cause to believe that the backpack would contain any evidence of any crimes. She was simply an innocent bystander at the time when the officers first encountered her. So, for these reasons, all of the evidence obtained against Stipro should have been suppressed and her conviction is vacated. I hope you learned a lot from this video. There was a lot of topics that we've covered. If you liked the video, please give it a thumbs up. Please subscribe to my channel and share it with your friends and family. If you're listening to the podcast version of this recording on Audible or Spotify, please give my podcast a 5-star rating. And finally, if you want to support this channel, consider going to lawstash.com and check out some of my merch. So subscribe to my channel or get off the internet. Thanks for watching.